Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Today, if you are participating online, let me say welcome. We would invite you to let us know you're there. You can text the word welcome to 256-322-6100. Just follow the prompts on the screen and we'll connect with you. It'll be our honor to do so. If you are a guest in the room, let me say two things. Number one, welcome. And second, happy Mother's Day to all the ladies in the room. It's an honor to have you here, and we come to celebrate the Lord today, but we will honor our mothers as well today. And we have a number of things that are happening today. If you are a guest, we would ask that you take just a moment to fill out the registration that's attached to the worship guide we hope you received on the way in. If not, there is a QR code on the back of the seat in front of you. We would encourage you to scan that and you can fill out a registration. And we would love to have that and have a record of your being here. We have a special gift for you you will enjoy. We won't show up at your house with it. We will mail it to you. So we want to encourage you to fill that out and let us know that you're participating with us. Each week, we pray for a different church. Our church of the week we're praying for this week is the Fellowship. They meet across town from us. It's a wonderful faith family. We appreciate them and their ministry. Their pastor is Alan Atkins, so we want to pray for them today. Then we also pray for a different one of our mission partners. And this week, the mission partner we're praying for is Sonia Vayu. Sonia serves in Jinja, Uganda, but she's based out of Vassalboro, Maine. And so we love partnering with her. We have a team going to serve with her this summer and just really just a matter of weeks now. And so we're excited to be able to go and be a part of that. So we want to pray for both of them. So let me pray for those ministries and then we'll carry on with our service. Father God, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to worship you. In this room is life. Lord, it's represented from the oldest senior adult in the room to the nine families that are dedicating little ones to you today and everything in between. Father, we're thankful that you are the giver and sustainer of life. And so we celebrate that. And Father, I take a moment right now and ask you to please move among the fellowship. Lord, that you would be with their worship service today with Pastor Allen as he brings the message. Lord, bring revival to their faith family and to their congregation and help them to be an impact in our city. And Father, we also pray for Sonia, who serves in Uganda but is currently in Maine. Lord, my prayer is that you'd be her provider, all the resources needed for the ministry there in Uganda, for the ladies that she ministers to and is equipping and discipling and training with life skills. And Father, we pray for our team that's preparing to go and serve with them, that they could be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus when they go. And God, now, for this remainder of this hour, that you'll speak to us, that you'll help us to give you the glory and honor that you are due. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, friends, we twice a year on Mother's Day and on Father's Day, we celebrate parent-child dedication. You may wonder what that is. It's an opportunity for us to have parents dedicate themselves to raise their children in a godly manner. It's a way for us to dedicate as a church that we will pray for those children and encourage them along the way and do all we can to minister to them as well. So there's a number of families sitting in the room that are going to participate. So let me talk to them and to you for just a moment, and then we'll bring them up and pray for them. There are many examples in the Bible of parents who brought their children to God and committed them to Him. Two that I'll mention. Number one, in the Old Testament, Hannah brought her son Samuel and presented him to God in 1 Samuel. And then second, the most notable one of all would be Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple at 8 days old and what took place there and what a blessing that was. In Psalm 127 verse 3, it says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him." I think every set of parents here today would say that their children are a blessing from God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." It's a command from the Lord that we are to disciple our kids and help them come to know Jesus. And then Ephesians 6, 4, Paul says these words, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So I would say to our parents that the most important thing we can do is pray for our children and then live the gospel in front of them. There's not a parent in this room who wouldn't say, "I would die for my child in a heartbeat." But the reality is, I want to encourage you to live for your child. Live that example for the Lord. So parents, God's desire is clear. Number one, that you be a godly parent. This dedication time really is as much for the parent as for the child. It really requires making sure you make a renewed commitment to honor the Lord with your life, with your decisions. And listen, life gets busy and tough, and long nights and difficulties you'll go through, and they'll just continue on through childhood years and teenage years. Teenage years last about 40 years, if y'all didn't know. They'll continue on, and it will continue on, even into adulthood when your children are young adults. So the reality is, being a godly parent doesn't stop when they turn 18. Being a godly parent is being an example and living and praying and showing for the rest of your lives, and we encourage you that. Second, we want to encourage you to teach your children about Jesus. Don't just expect that our Sunday school leaders, as great as they are, will do it, that our nursery workers, as great as they are, will do it. We want you to know that your primary responsibility is to teach them about Jesus. You'll teach them about other extracurricular things, sports, music, life skills, all those things, but make sure you teach them about Jesus. Next, can I encourage you and implore you, keep your children in church. Amen. Listen, there's such a joy and a privilege when we gather together to worship, whether it be this church or another church, to gather around other believers who will love on them and smile and show them and help them be welcome and grow in their faith. Next, I would just remind you to train your children. I know that's what you're doing now, but I would encourage you to do so. And if you're married, stay married for your child. Just continue that commitment for their sake and for yours. And then lastly, just to make your home a holy place. Holy means to be set apart. We don't do things perfect at our house. I know a lot of folks might think that the pastor's house, it's we stand around, sing kumbaya, and hold hands, and it's not how it works. But I do hope that my children, all of them, know that they are loved and cared for, and though we walk in imperfection, and though we don't always get it right, and I have to do some apologizing along the way, the reality is we want to show them the hands and feet of Jesus and speak the words of Jesus. So parents, don't be too hard on yourselves, but at the same time, make a renewed commitment to walk in that. That goes for everyone in this room. And let me say to the rest of our faith family really quickly, even though you may not be a children's worker, we have many, many volunteers who serve with children's ministry. Maybe you're one of those, maybe you're not. The reality is, whether you are or not, we all have a responsibility to pray for our young families. We all have a responsibility to pray for these children, to encourage them, to stand by them and support them. And so that's a commitment I hope we will all make together. So here's what we'll do. Parents, I will call out your name and I'll ask you to join Miss Tammy Edmonds. Miss Tammy is here. Miss Tammy is standing in for Miss Pam Brasher. Pam, our children's minister, is at home dealing with pneumonia. So we ask you to pray for Pam and for her to feel better and to be better soon. And but she really wanted Tammy to be a part of this regardless. Tammy has been serving in our nursery, loving on your kids and teaching them really for since early 2020. She's been with us helping in that regard. And so she will present you with a little gift from the church, a Bible for your child. And then also I'll offer a prayer over you and she'll help line you up. We're going to start here on the, we'll stay on the floor, but on the piano side and make our way across. Don't face me. Everybody else, they don't want to see me. They want to see you and the kids. So first of all, it's a real honor. And we love Taylor and Ansley Cash. We love having them as a part of our faith family. Big Brother Fisher is here as well, but they have Fletcher Hayes Cash. So if you guys will come and stand right here, and Tammy, if you'll just meet them and present that there for them. We're very excited for them and for their new addition to be able to dedicate him to the Lord. And then Caleb and Morgan Dunn are in the room here. Yes, Harrison Reed is the big brother, Harrison. And then we have Benjamin Luke Dunn coming to be dedicated today. So we're so thankful for the Dunn family and for how God's moving in them. Then we have some of our newest church members, Blake and Tori King. And they have two sons they are dedicating today, Porter Austin King and Sterling Anders King. So we're thankful for them and happy to have them come. This is a fun looking group here. I enjoy all the kids. Jenny Moore, are you in here? I'm looking around. I don't see. There you are, back there. Thank you, Miss Jenny. You come, bring some help if you want it. Leslie's welcome to come with you to help. Miss Jenny has Josiah Moore, Gabriel Moore, and Naomi Hewlett, and they come. Miss Jenny graduated from the Hope classes with Christian Women's Job Corps last weekend, which is an incredible accomplishment where she spent learning new life skills, learning new things, and we're so thankful to have her as a part of our faith family, and so thankful for her today to be here. Leslie Henry, who's one of the leaders of the Hope classes, is an extra set of hands today, and we're thankful for that. Then we have Jordan and Heather Rowell. I know they're here. I've seen them. Here they are right here. Sorry. Thank you. Big brother Grayson Rowell, and then Isabella Blake Rowell. And so we come excited to dedicate her to the Lord. What a beautiful baby. Matthew and Abby Roy, and big brother Turner. And then the new one is Miss Miller Francis Roy. What a beautiful family. Turner, you want to preach today? You and me could do it, buddy. You won't hurt my feelings. That's all right. I'm good with it. It doesn't bother me a bit, so be thankful. And then we're excited. Chris and Emily Short, their very first child, Noah Reeves Short. And so we're excited to present him and for you to see him. This is exciting to see all these families. It gets me so happy. Then John and Peyton Nelson and Graham Michael Nelson. They've had a busy day. They went to a child dedication at another church for sister and then back again. So that's exciting to have them here for this today. And then recently officially adopted by Mike and Marina Foreman, we have Haley Shea Foreman and Mackenzie Leanne Foreman. And we celebrate adoption. We're so excited for that. So we invite them to come too. Now, friends, this is exciting. They're all, listen, what an exciting group. I want to encourage you, if you're in the faith family, to, as you look at these sweet children, to realize this represents a lot of sleepless nights. You remember that. It represents a lot of changed diapers, and some of y'all, no offense, you got a lot more to go, okay? So that's coming. It represents some anxieties and some worry on parents' parts. It represents a tremendous amount of love and joy and fulfillment and promise of what's to come. As a faith family, before I pray, let me tell you what it represents for us. It means this: with this many young little ones in our nursery, the walls aren't going to be perfect. We're going to get scuff marks. Somebody's going to take a crayon and mark on the wall at some point. You know what we're going to say? Praise the Lord for new life. Listen, we stop and we celebrate the fact that this is life. And that we get to be a part of that as a faith family. And so parents, just know, we're excited to journey with you and to walk with you. Pam wanted me to tell you, and I do want to say, if we can assist you in any way, it's our privilege and honor to do so, to pray for you, to come alongside you, to help in any way we can. Let me pray for all of you right now. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for these sweet children. I thank you for the fact that they are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord Fletcher, Benjamin, Porter, Sterling, Josiah, Naomi, Gabriel, Isabella, Miller Francis, Noah, Graham, Haley, Mackenzie. Father, each of these have been prayed for and loved on and cared for by their parents, and we're so thankful for that. I pray that they would all come to know you at a very young age, that the truth would be spoken to them, and that they would come to know what it means to follow you as their Lord and Savior. When the time is right for them, Father, that you'll do that work. But until that day, my prayer is that you'll continue to guide these parents as they speak truth and love and grace and mercy over them. Father, I pray for their future, how you will use them to impact the kingdom of God. I pray for the good days and the hard days. I pray for the days of joy and the days of just mundane living that are coming in the years to come. I pray that everyone will be cherished by these parents. I pray that every parent standing here will make a renewed commitment that they will raise their children to know you, and that most importantly, they will strive to know you and serve you and honor you more and more. And in doing so, Father, that will help their children to know who you are. And so, Father, we pray for their protection. Father, we pray, we know that in this world, there is a world out there that would seek to lead them astray. There is an enemy that is the same enemy of every person in this room. But so, Father, our prayer is for the protection of these children. Our prayer is that you would continue to let us stand strong with them, beside them, in front of them, and behind them. And Father, that you will go before and move in their lives. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to be a part of a faith family that involves so many young families and welcomes in more. What an honor, what a joy. So together, we commit to pray for these families. Together, these parents commit to raise their children in your love and care. And Father, together, we ask that you would move in the lives of these children. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Not too loud. Let's give a little hand to these here, right here. Not wake anybody up. Thank you guys very much. You're welcome to go sit wherever you like. You can stay down front. You can go to the nursery. You can do whatever you like. But so thankful and so honored to have you all here. What a blessing. If your family that came with these, we're thankful that you are here as well. We're going to carry on in worship. Let's stand together as we sing a hymn of praise that says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty."
Early. You are the same God. are good, God. You free the captives in your freeing hearts right now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God. You touch the lepers then. I feel your touch right now. You are the same, God. You are the same, God.
You're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, God, we worship you.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Come and fill.
Come and fill me again.
Fill this place, Lord.
Come and fill me again.
Father God, we call on the Holy Spirit. We ask that He fill us. We ask that He empower us to understand Your Word. God, we're asking that You would speak to us through Your truth. It's timeless. We're asking that Jesus would bring calling to those in the room that don't know Him, that many people would come to know Him today. And God, as we call on the God of Jacob, we are reminded of what that means. We will talk about that today. And Lord, my prayer is that every person in this room could come to know You as our God. That every person in this room would know what it means to call You Abba, Father. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. I love that line. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. Here's the truth. It's been 3,900 years and a little change. 3,900 years since God called Jacob and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And just like the song we just lifted up says, He is the same God today. So your God is the God of Jacob. And what does that mean for you? It means this: the one who called us wants us to call on Him. That's what He wants from us today. And so today we will look at Psalm 146, if you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible or a tablet, something that a device that would have it, Psalm 146 will be on the screen. But we're going to start in the middle, then we'll unpack the whole chapter. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob," like we just sang about, "whose hope is in the Lord his God." Let me share with you this idea of the God of Jacob. It doesn't mean Jacob was perfect, so God chose him. In fact, it was quite the opposite. God did not change Jacob to Israel because he was better than all the other men. I think I could prove a point from Scripture that he struggled more than a lot of men of his day. He had many flaws and failures. He lied to his father. He extorted his brother out of his birthright, his inheritance for his whole life. He extorted his brother using a bowl of lentil soup. Now listen, friends, I like stew, but there is no bowl of stew that's going to make me give up a forever inheritance from your family, right? Maybe a donut, but not a bowl of stew. Y'all with me? All right, it's just not going to happen. Then realize this, God did also this. God did not make Israel his chosen people because they deserved his blessing. So God didn't change Jacob to Israel because he deserved it. And he didn't take Israel and make them his chosen people because they deserved the blessing. No, if you're writing things down, here's the one phrase I'd want you to walk away with. Israel was the canvas God used to paint a story of grace and mercy and the power of his character. They were flawed people that he chose out of their mess to let them be the ones who would carry forth the message and eventually the Messiah. So he chose them. And Psalm 146 gives us this great view of hope, of how we can hope in God the Father and his son Jesus. So for this next month, we're preaching about hope. And all summer, our theme is hope for you. And it's the idea of what you and I can experience through God, through Jesus, what he does in our lives, what we can share with others. So let's look at Psalm 146 and unpack it from top to bottom, starting with verses 1 and 2, and then skip to the last verse, verse 10. Listen to what it says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Then skip on down to the last verse. He says, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. So the psalmist begins this psalm with this song. It's a song. He begins it with praise. He ends it with praise. And it's a great model for how you and I should live our lives. Listen, we should start every day with praise to God. And we should end every night as you're laying down, your head's on your pillow, you're about to doze off, with praise to God. We praise God for who He is. We thank Him for what He has done. Listen, I want to encourage you to practice that this week. Start your day with praise. End your day with praise and thanksgiving. Let's practice it right now. A little crowd participation in this room. What is something that you're thankful to God for today, or you praise Him for today? You got to shout it out with a loud voice. What are you thankful for? What are you praising for? Let's hear it.
Mothers.
Good answer. What else? Family. Children. What else? What are you thankful for? What are you praising for?
Salvation.
What else? Friends. Health. What else?
Mercy.
Come on. What are you praising for today? Amen. Keep going. And your students. That's a teacher in the last 2 weeks of school saying that. That's you walking with a lot of grace there, sister. So that's it. That's it. What else? What do you praise God for? Amen. Amen. We could keep going, but you get the point. The truth is, we speak the praise. Psalm 146 says, start. Praise the Lord. End your day. Praise the Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you to do just that. So what happens? He begins the psalm with praise. He ends with praise. And then in the middle, we have a progression. He starts by telling us in whom we should not place our trust. And then he tells us in whom we should trust. And then he gives us a reminder of how God lives out his love for us, which really ends up being a great list of how we can live out our love for him. So let's look at that together. Go to verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Now, he's talking here about political rulers, about kingdom rulers of the day. He says, don't put your trust in those rulers because they're just a son of man. And in them, you won't find salvation in them. And when their breath departs, they'll return to the earth. And that very day, their plan will perish. So here's what I would say. We're walking into a huge national political cycle. The next few months, if you just love political ads, you're going to be so happy. If you're like the other 100% of us, it's going to be tough to see all that we see. There's a lot of mud that will be slung and things that will happen, and that's tough. And that's we hate that part of it, but the reality, it's true. Here's what I would say. If you place all your hope in a ruler or leader, someday, no offense, someday they're going to lose an election. Someday they're going to retire. Someday they're going to resign. Someday they're going to make a bad choice. Eventually, I don't mean to be offensive, they're going to die. And so it's important to realize as a nation, we must care about our national government and how things are done. We must care. And listen, I even wrote this down. We can legislate our way to a better nation. We can do it, and we should. We should make right choices and vote so that we can make our nation better and great. But please hear me say this. You cannot legislate your way to eternal hope or transform lives. That only comes through Jesus. There's no law or legislation that will make everyone follow Jesus. We can make things better for our nation, but the reality is the hope for eternity comes through Jesus. Our hope is found in God and His ways. Keep going. Verse 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. So this title, God of Jacob, that we just sang about, that we just talked about, it's a reminder that we have a God of second chances. Now let me ask you, if you have been on the recipient end of God's grace and mercies, aren't you glad we have a God of second chances? Aren't you glad of that? A God who uses messy people and works in messy situations. Jacob was messy and God used him. Israel was a mess and God used them. A God who gets glory through transformed lives. He wants us to be new and made new in him. And the psalmist not only tells us that we worship, we should focus on the God of Jacob, not on just sons of men, but the God of Jacob. And then listen to this. The psalmist reminds us that this same God made heaven, made earth, made the sea, and all that is in them. Now, if I were to ask, or I will ask, how many of you were able on Friday night to see the northern lights, the aurora borealis? Who saw that? A lot more than the early service. Those people go to bed early. So you guys, you did better. So more of you caught that. But the if you didn't, and you have any form of social media, you realize everybody else saw it but you, okay? Beautiful, incredible pictures. And to know, listen, and you may not realize it, but to be able to see it that vivid, the way it was here, that kind of thing, that's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity in Alabama. You got to go to Alaska, Iceland, somewhere else, way up north. You're not going to see that in the buckle of the Bible Belt, probably again in your lifetime like that. You may say, well, you don't know how old or young I am. I'm talking anybody's lifetime in this room. It just doesn't happen that often. It was beautiful. But when that was happening Friday night, I thought about this verse. Listen to this. The very God who created those northern lights that you saw, all that incredible, I mean, it's just incredible. You think that's like CGI. It can't be real. Someone's pulled the joke on us. No. The very God who did all of that, listen to what it says here in Revelation chapter 21. God is giving a vision to John of the new Jerusalem, what will be heaven as it comes to earth someday, perfection. Listen to what he says. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb, that's Jesus. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. Did you catch what it says? It says the glory of God will be the light in heaven. Now, if you thought the aurora borealis was something to see, if you've read that before and you just pictured bright white lights in heaven and everybody's wearing white, listen, God made what you saw Friday night. Can you imagine? I assume there's going to be colors in that light in heaven that we've never with our eyes witnessed. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? And so the Creator God, the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, it says that's the God of Jacob, and that's the one we trust. Surely we can trust that Creator God with our lives. You got problems in your life this week? We've got some things in our family that we're trying to help and work through and advocate for and be a part of. And I can tell you this, in our family, I'm reminded that we have the God of Jacob on our side. And if he can paint a picture like that, he can surely paint a beautiful story out of the mess of other people's lives, right? That's what he can do for us. Let's keep going. Verse 7, Psalm 146, 7. This is about that God who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he will bring to ruin. So what do verses 7, 8, and 9 show us? It's the character of our God. This is what he does. This is who he is, and this is what he does. And then Jesus himself, the Son of God, fulfilled all of these things in the New Testament, and he continues to do so in our lives. But don't miss this. This is not just a reminder of the hope we have in Jesus. It's a reminder of the calling we have as his followers. This is not just what God can do with his character. Listen, the sons and daughters of God, we are called to be his hands and his feet in this world. And so if we're called to be his hands and his feet, that implies action and how we'll live that out. Listen to this verse in John 14. It says, this is Jesus speaking, by the way. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. And greater works than these will he do because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this is what I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What is Jesus saying? When he's saying we'll do greater things than him, what's the context of this? Well, here's the context of John 14. Jesus knows he's about to be arrested. He knows he's going to go to the cross. He knows he's going to die. He knows the disciples are going to be confused. He knows he's coming back. They're struggling to realize all of this. So he lays out this plan for them. In John chapter 14, in the beginning, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, and I'm telling you, I'm going to come back for you. And then Thomas, who we call the doubter, but I'll be honest, I think the better name is calling him Honest Thomas, not Doubting Thomas, because he's willing to ask honest questions that we all might have. And so Thomas speaks up and says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says to Thomas and to all of them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then right after that, just moments later, we hear him tell them, you're going to do greater things than I have done. And you can do anything when you ask it in my name, according to his will, what he wants. Because right after that, he shares with us that he's sending someone to help us, the Holy Spirit. We just sang about that as well. So it's the idea that Jesus says, you'll do greater things than me because I'm going away. There'll be a time I'll come back for you, but I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come and empower you and lead you and guide you, and you're going to be able to be used by the kingdom. And so you can do greater things than even me. So Jesus speaks these words here, and what does he mean? By the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can be the hands and we can be the feet of Jesus. Now, you've heard that phrase a lot. I say it maybe almost every week, but have we ever stopped to really explain what that means in a little bit more detail? For example, do you realize if you're going to be the feet of Jesus, it means you have to get up and go? The feet of Jesus don't sit and do nothing. If you're going to be the feet of Jesus, it implies that we will get up and go and do what he tells us to. If we'll be the hands of Jesus, it means we wade in, we roll up our sleeves, and we get involved, and we do what he would do. Ephesians 2:10 says this, Paul says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word there, workmanship, in the Greek is the word poema. That word poema, translated literally into English, we'll use the word workmanship here, but we also get our word poem from it. We get our word masterpiece from it. We get the phrase work of art from it. So this idea is God saying, you are my masterpiece. You are my work of art. You are what I have created to do good works, so that others will glorify God and come to know me. So we have been called to be his hands and his feet. In short, if we're going to have real faith in our life, real faith has to be active faith. Real faith is active faith. Look again at verses 7 through 9. This is not only God's character lived out, it's also, I believe, and you might disagree, but I believe it because Jesus talks about very similar things later. I believe this is a list of now, because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us, how we can walk and live out these very same things. I believe it's a list for us. I'll read it again. Psalm 146, verse 7. Who executes justice for the oppressed. Now, who are the oppressed? You look up the Bible dictionary version of oppressed, it says it's someone who gets taken advantage of. Friends, you and I, not only are praying about that, we've been called because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the power of God in us. We are to show justice for those who get taken advantage of. Now, that's practical. It says, who gives food to the hungry. I don't know about you, but I go to the grocery store. Sadly, I feel like I go to Foodland every day, 7 days a week. And it seems like every day I have to give a $100 bill to pick up some groceries. They're very expensive. So we live, the world, there's been some scarcity for food in other places for a long time. And there's always been issues in our country, but it seems like here recently with the cost of inflation, the cost of groceries, the reality is for all of us that it costs more to feed our families. So there are food security issues that are real right here in Albertville, Alabama. It's not the grocery store's fault. The reality is things are more expensive. And so here's what I would say to you and to me. There are more people around us now with food security issues than there have ever been. And we can't blanket look at all of them and say, well, they should get a job. Listen, a lot of them have a job. We can't blanket say, well, they should save more money. Listen, a lot of them are using it all for groceries. The truth is, I think we can apply this to our lives as much now as ever when it says that God gives food to the hungry as his sons and daughters, as his hands and feet. We can help provide food security for others. Look for a way to do that in your own life, a practical way to bless somebody you know who needs blessing. Let's keep going. It says, the Lord sets the prisoners free. Who are the prisoners? It's those in bondage. That's not just someone who's in jail. That's bondage from sin, from addiction, from a problem, from emotion. The reality is we all know people in bondage. And our calling is that we can help set them free. You say, me? How can I do it? It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. God can use you. Listen, friends, we can help be bondage breakers for the kingdom of God. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I love that hymn. Let others see Jesus in you. Love that song. Listen, we want to open the eyes of the blind around us. Here's how you do it. Live for the Lord. Show his grace and mercy and kindness and justice. And here's what I will tell you. Those that have their eyes blinded to the truth, their scales will fall off. When they see it in you, how are they going to argue that if they see that truth in you? So I encourage you, let your eyes be open to the truth of who he is. Goes on to say, for others to eyes, your actions to let their eyes be open. Then the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. We all know people who are bowed down, people who are mourning, people who are grieving. There are people in this room that today's a painful day. There's a sting today because of a recent loss. For some, there's some mourning because of loss from years gone by, but time has not healed it yet. Others are going through difficult situations or circumstances. Listen, I believe part of the way we can be like Jesus and live out Psalm 146 is to lift up those who are bowed low. How? Pray for them, encourage them, sit beside them, mourn with them. Lift up those heads. You have been uniquely designed and equipped and placed in the life of someone because they need your encouragement. Do you believe that? If we have a sovereign God, he's put you in the right place at the right time to be his man or woman on the scene. And so you can do that for someone that needs it. The Lord loves the righteous. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the sojourners. What's a sojourner? The Bible idea of a sojourner is someone who's passing through. It's just a simple definition. Someone who's here for a season, who's here for a while. There are plenty of sojourners in our community. There are sojourners in your life. We look for ways to help them. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Listen, in our city, there are countless widows, widowers, and fatherless, those who have a need. May is a National Awareness Month for foster care. Listen, I can tell you, there's a great need for those around us who need someone who will stand for them, who need someone who will love them like a father and mother. And here's what, everybody in this room can't do foster care, but I'll tell you what you can do. You can find someone who's taking somebody in and you can come alongside them and encourage them. You can support them. You can pray for them. You can be there for them. You can pray for Department of Human Resource workers. You can pray for the court system. You can pray for the youth advocacy workers who are helping them, for their counselors. You can pray for their guardian ad litems. You can get your hands and feet involved for the fatherless. You can do that. We can help those who are widows who just need someone to come alongside them and help them. We may have some people in our own church who could just, it would be a blessing if someone just knocked on their door just to offer a word of encouragement, just to be there for them for a moment, to see if there's a physical need they could help meet. And then he says, but the way of the wicked he will bring to ruin. Then he ends with the praise the Lord again. So what do we do with this chapter? Well, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Start your day with praise, end your night with praise. Realize who you can't put your trust in, and that's mankind. It's not trying to say that they're evil in all things. It's just saying they won't always be there. And so we put our trust in the Lord. And in putting our trust in the God of Jacob, we're reminded he's the God of second chances. And some of you, it's time for a second chance. You need God's grace and mercy. You've put yourself on a shelf because of what's going on in your life or some sin in your life or some problem in your past. And it's time for you to realize that the God of Jacob is also the God of Chris and the God of Mike and the God of Kale and the God of Tommy. He's your God too. And he specializes in taking someone who has messed up, failed in some way, and making them new and useful to his kingdom again. So let God do that for you. And then also understanding we can trust him because he made the sea, the land, the heavens, and all things in it. We can trust him, and then we can live out these practical things we just read. So I want to encourage you to leave here today with a purposeful and practical plan to be his hands and his feet. Remember, if you are his feet, you have to get up and go. If you're hands, you've got to wade in and be involved in what he would do. So we're going to have homework. School's about out. Just a couple of more weeks. Teachers, hang in there. Students, hang in there. It's coming. Parents, it's all the craziness of the end of the year is about to wrap up. There won't be much more homework from here on out. But there's homework for every person in the room today in church. And here's the homework for our worship. Will you pick out one of these specifically that's mentioned in verses 7, 8, and 9? Find a way you can live that out practically and purposely today. Maybe for you, it's that you will make a decision that you will execute justice for the oppressed. You know someone or some group that's being taken advantage of, and you're going to get involved. Maybe for you, it's that you know someone who could use a little help literally with food, just as mentioned here. And so you provide some groceries, or you provide a meal, or you do something. You buy someone's lunch today for Mother's Day. Whatever the case may be, find a way to get involved purposefully and practically. Maybe for you, it's the setting the prisoners free. I don't mean you have to go to the jail and do that right there, but there are plenty of people in bondage in your life, to sin, to an addiction, to a problem, something going on in their life. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. Call them. Check on them. Send them a text. Let them know you're praying for them. Opening the eyes of the blind. That's you living your faith and your grace and your love in such a way that others see it and their eyes are open to the truth of who Jesus is. Lift up those who are bowed low. Someone you can encourage who you know is going through a hard time, and they may just need you to come alongside them and just stand there, or just cry with them, or just encourage them. Don't just tell them just to get over it. Don't do that. Listen, be there with them. Help lift up those who are bowed low. Watch over the sojourner. Help the widow and orphan. You can pray for Isaiah 1:17. We pray every day at 1:17, a lot of us, for God to move in that way. Maybe if you want more info about that, I'll tell you when we're done. Whatever the case may be, would you leave here with a practical decision to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Now, would you bow your heads with me? Would we let our hands and our feet and our mouths shout to the world, there is hope for you? So with the heads bowed, just a little privacy, what I'm going to ask is that you will figure out what you're practically going to do. And if you say, well, I just don't have any idea. Listen, friend, don't leave this moment without something practical. How you can care for a widow or the fatherless. How you can comfort someone who's mourning and walk with them. How you know someone who's being oppressed and you're going to get involved in their situation and help them. Someone who needs food. Someone who's in bondage. You can do it. Stop and figure out someone, some way you can live it out. Listen, you may have sung the three songs we sang in worship, but I'll tell you, a greater worship would be for you to go live out verse 7, 8, and 9 in somebody's life today. I truly believe the Lord will receive that with greater honor. So take a moment to stop and think about that. Father God, my prayer is that I could stand up for the oppressed and marginalized. Lord, my prayer is that you'll give me the wisdom and the grace to help people who are bowed low and struggling. Lord, that I'll see people who have a need for food and not just look past them, not dismiss them, but I'll get involved. That I'll look at someone who's in bondage, not as someone who just made poor choices and stuck where they are, but I will see them as someone that you want to declare your glory through and set those prisoners free. So God, help us to love them and pray for them and encourage them and walk with them. Father, for those that are skeptical of the church, who are skeptical of believers, that they could see us live it out in such a way that we show your grace and mercy and truth and righteousness, and in doing so, their eyes will be opened and they won't be blind anymore. Father, would you speak to every person in this room, help them to make a renewed decision to live out verses 7, 8, and 9 of Psalm 146 today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.